creation and destruction universe needs both to complete balance and evolutionary development. The dynamics between creation and destruction generates the challenging impulse of evolution. And love binds all creation together. Linear time is the matrix. Wherever there is gravity, linear time creates a matrix of its own, which is in the shape of a sphere, dilated around a gravitational body, a planet around a star around the central vortex of a galaxy. A matrix is not an illusion, it is a reality of its own, experienced by all consciousnesses that exist within it. Consciousness experiences mortality. Outside of a gravitational sphere, consciousness is free from time. Consciousness experiences immortality. The Fractal Universe Contact with a 9, April 4, 2022. It often happens in the afternoon. On April 4, 2022, I was hammered by a powerful desire to sleep due to a vibrational leap, as usual when a connection is made with the Intergalactic Confederation people. I just had the time to lay down on my bed, and the vortex quickly blasted into my mind. "We are making contact," said the multiple synchronized voice. I sensed the presence of the Nine Collective, wrapping around me. My consciousness was drifting through luminous shapes and colors on a dark, infinite background. I was in the void. I saw colorful moving blobs evolving around me. They were, them. The Nine Plasmic Superconsciousnesses. They looked like the substance of a lava lamp, non-definite shapes of light, which I couldn't define exactly as solid, maybe liquid, I think fluid is the most approaching description. They looked like giant protozoa. I was finally allowed to see them in their true form. I had the strong feeling of being in presence of the primordial stem cells of the universe. Within each of them, there was a strange indefinite dwelling node, like a gland. My consciousness could understand that this was a sort of vortex, a compression node allowing the download from source of any formula key for any structure of life to morph and come to existence. The very mechanism of creation. Then, a myriad of shooting arrows of bright white light swept me into a beautiful, holographic landscape bathed with the soft pink and golden light. I understood that it was an artificial construct created by the Nine in order to explain something to me. I noticed something rapidly, underlying all shapes in transparency: leaves, flowers, grass, trees, clouds, and even the air, were myriads of luminous tiny numbers, wrapping around every shape, running in the sap and twirling in the breeze. I heard one of the Nine speaking to me, in a young, gentle, masculine voice. "All creation is constructed with mathematical equations. There is a constant that links everything together, and that is at the base of all creation, a single mathematical equation. That underlines all the mathematical patterns of all forms of creation, together." "What is this equation?" I asked. In response, I heard him pronounce a multiplicity of numbers at high speed, and sometimes his own voice was overlapping itself, then multiplying in an exponential echo until it became one unique sound. It seemed extremely complex, and my own mind couldn't grasp it. It was too fast, too much information. But one thing I understood for sure: these infinitely complex numbers were forming the equation of a multilayered, infinitely complex geometry, the great equation of the universe. Tilde. Everything is fractal mathematics. All shapes are fractal geometry. Fractals are linked to each other. From the smallest to the greatest. Even consciousness is fractal geometry. The most elaborate in the fractal chain of the universe. There is a unique superconsciousness behind the holographic mathematical construct of the universe. It is source, the infinite timeless ever-creating source of consciousness. All fractals lead the tilde. How the Nine truly look like. Similar vision, in the Star Trek original series, Season 2, Ep. 18 Jan 1968. The magic of the old world Antarctica. These are several communications I received from Thor Han on that day, December 14, 2021. First communication. By the decision of the High Council of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, Thor Han said. Following the recent agreements set on Jupiter between the Earth Space Alliance and the Galactic Federation of Worlds, the Council of Five and the Zenitian Alliance, the Terran elites under enemy leadership complied to meet on the southern continent, with our representatives, in order to hand over to the Earth Alliance their powers upon the global financial system. This ancient system is to be replaced by the new system that is to be put in place by the Earth Alliance. They are being offered, in exchange, a life off-world with all commodities. Why are they not just judged for their misdeeds and sentenced accordingly? They only can unwind the dark web they created, for they cast into the foundations of your societies the anchors of great immorality. It was decided with the Terran High Hierarchy of the Earth Alliance that no greater chaos would unfold from these transfers of power, as an economical collapse would add even more suffering to these challenging times for the Terran people, already greatly wounded. The GFW and the Earth Alliance are making sure that this transition will cause the least damage as possible. Does this concern only changes in the financial system? Industrial domains are interdependent with the financial system. Be prepared to witness surprising changes in the matter of new energy systems and the rolling out of technologies in many sectors. Why were you on Jupiter these last days? And just back on the very same day when these meetings in Antarctica are leaked? I told you there were meetings on Jupiter. The dark elites weren't there, they would not be tolerated in the Shari facility, Ashtar GC. The dark ones met on Antarctica's land with our envoys. The latest meetings on Jupiter were about those I just mentioned, with the leadership of the Earth Alliance only. These meetings were completed today, Terran time. This is the statement I can give to you, with my superior's blessings. Did Una contact you? Yes, she did. Then she knows more details than I do, at least for now. I shall speak to you again in the coming hours. You can of course tell Dr. Michael, and give him my fond salutations. I surely will, thank you, Thorhan. Second communication. Another aspect of my presence on Jupiter was to discuss this phenomenon which very recently occurred in the vicinity of your star system, a collapse of the third density continuum. This occurs in pockets in the fabric of space and your star system is entering one of these on its trajectory through this arm of the galaxy. More third density collapsing will occur, as a bridge to the fifth density. The enemy and the Dark Ones know about it, they knew it was happening and it is one of the reasons why they knew for a long time that they had lost this star system. I will tell you more later. Third communication. I am going to talk about this natural phenomenon occurring in the vicinity of your star system. This is not an isolated phenomenon, as your star system moves throughout the grid of this galaxy, composed of fluctuating waves of frequencies, you encounter pockets of higher vibrational density of matter. What does it mean? The physical laws binding the atoms together oscillate at a faster rate. It is not about time, do you understand? The time rate doesn't change, only the perception you have of it, because your rate changes. It is not about time but only about the physicality of the fabric of space that shifts. As the universal laws of physics function, it happens that this phenomenon occurs progressively, unless the pocket of higher density is as big or bigger than the said star system. The limit of a density zone is not sharp but fuzzy. You enter into it progressively, by encountering bubbles until you completely merge into the new area. What happens, I asked, when Earth will cross through one of these higher density zones, or bubbles? Nothing near a dramatic event, such as many Terrans imagine with fear could happen. It manifests as a change in consciousness as the perceptions, mental and physical, shift into a higher range. Physical symptoms can occur, those who have prepared their mind openly follow the wave but for those who are not ready and resist it, it translates for them by physical and mental suffering. The vision changes. The perceptions change, especially the perception of linear time, that is perceived as faster. But you know, this process, entering through this new area in Nataru, is inevitable. So Terrans need to truly let go of any resistance, such as the greatest, that is fear. Going back to Antarctica, what else can you tell me? I don't like these guys, They are the embodiment of evil. They have caused so much suffering. They won't anymore. When the Jupiter agreements took place, they received a warning that we would meet in 5 months and they would have to prepare to surrender. So they knew this, and that is why they are pushing all their agendas at once, with despair. But your people start to see that. Wait, why giving them 5 months? For the transition. This meeting is a turning point for them, and for you. If we had suppressed them all at once, the financial and economical system on Terra would have imploded in a terrible chaos. There are better ways. They are summoned to transfer to the Alliance their keys and tools, in order to make the transition as smooth as possible for the population. Something else that is worth mentioning, is that they have been taught into dark etheric arts, and the spells need to be undone. This will undo their power. It is powerless that they will leave this world. Because they will leave. You know, when I mentioned transition, I meant to say that Terrans need to see the faces of their enemy, in order to open their consciousness to the truth. However painful this process is, it is necessary. It reminds me what the Nine told me recently, that every sentient being has a role to play in the games of the evolution of the universe. That is exact. You know, when I stayed in the Himalayan base, 4 years ago, I witnessed great plans being prepared for the awakening of the Terrans. The Time War was the main concern. Imagine a Time War like a multi-layered chessboard. There is no better way to describe it to you. We were preparing the coming out of the dark, the great reveal. We were working at breaking down the veil of illusion and mind control. And it worked, but many, still, need to awaken. It will happen, we know this. We saw it. You know, now, when we return to a further time, we can see how the future has changed. I wish you could see it. Tell the Terrans they must be brave, for dark days are ahead, only to reveal to them that in the darkness, they are the light. Una's channeling. Channeling is not my preferred method of communication, but these people from the Intergalactic Confederation have the art of taking you by surprise and putting you to sleep without warning, whenever they decide to make contact. It happened that time during the day, in the afternoon. A familiar vortex opened in my room and I recognized the particular energy frequency of Lady Una. I was overwhelmed by a powerful energy that made my head spin. I laid down and fell into a trance. She appeared within my mind, and I allowed her to speak through me after I understood she had a message to deliver. I just had the time to grab my mobile phone and set it on record. They've come to bargain their freedom. They hold keys, and to give these keys, they need to consent to give these keys. Because it is not only about material possessions. But it is also about rituals they have performed to lock this planet and the human race of Terra into very dark rituals. These need to be uncussed, and they have, only them, the key to uncuss these dark circles traced around each society, human beings. We are meeting them to allow them to uncuss these dark rituals to set free the minds and the protection they set on the monetary institutions they created. A dark ancient institution. Those of the name, the number 33. Those of the lower numbers. The reverse triangles, and all those who worshipped the Soul Harvester. Those who worked to separate the soul from the human beings and bodies are about to leave this planet. Negotiation, deals. You must not believe that we agree to their acts. We are displeased at all that they've done. Antarctica is the meeting place because the portal can take them when the moment is here. They will give us the keys to unlock their rituals and cast the dark circles. The 9 levels of darkness will be collapsed as one and dispersed into dust. It is over. The dust will be scattered to the 4 winds of human consciousness liberated. We summoned them when the greater agreements were made between your planet and the Galactic Federation of Nataru. From this moment we flew to your star system, and now these encounters with the Dark Ones of the human race of Terra, we will set free all the dark bindings of magic. They are done. They will benefit of a prison planet that will give them all they want, but they will never leave. A world far in another galaxy which you do not know the name yet. They will be forgotten and content. The best way to end the conflict. I from the Duva Guardians, Founder Ones, leave this message. It is over for the rulership of the dark. We have been waiting and working at the same time with the Galactic Federation of Nataru and Zenity Alliance to free this planet. We and our outposts in the higher mountains of your world have prepared a purging of the dark. This process started 200 of your years ago and now it is touching the last stage. Darkness is unleashed. It is because the humans of Terra need to see it and fight it. The rulership of the dark on this planet is over. Those who worked for millenniums at separating soul from the human of Terran's bodies will go. No more soul harvesting. Yes, they are meeting us and the delegation from the Galactic Federation of Nataru, Zenity, two beings. Council of Five, one being. Intergalactic Founder Races, five. Terran Alliance, 10. The military forces of Terra, off-world, 20 soldiers. They will not be taken straight away because they will need to uncast the rituals, rearrange all the bases of their society to avoid a collapse that will be chaotic. We do not wish for the humans of Terra, a monetary collapse. We wish a soft transition because chaos you have had enough. They are commanded to recalibrate the monetary systems to the new system the Earth Alliance is bringing. Quantum abstract, no more metal, no more paper, at least for a while for a transition. You are tired, so I will say my last words. Soon events will speed up on your planet. It will be a terrible storm, but the more you will be able to wake up, the faster this storm will pass. A lot will lose their lives by choice in the vaccination, but this was ruled out by the Dark Ones. Free will was the trap. Now it is stopping. Soon you will see it. Antarctica is the meeting of the old world with the people from other star systems to give the keys to the Earth Alliance and the Federation and leave. As I said, they will not leave this week. They will be commanded to change the system and they will disappear forever. 2023, all of this will be a memory. We will celebrate together. Pass this message, your friend Thorhan will not be in trouble. This man with white hair you speak to, he will pass the message. Give him my friendship. I connected with him, he will remember. Una has spoken. Extraterrestrial magic. Magic spells need to be uncast by those who have the keys. As a druid myself, and with a degree in ancient Egyptian magic and rituals, I can confirm that any spell can be only uncast, or rewinded, by those who have the keys of the ritual that has been performed. Be it those who performed it, or either those who are given the keys, meaning the detailed script of the ritual and all the magical tools handed to them. Usually, it is the person who cast the spell who is best efficient at undoing it. If not uncast, a spell can last forever, as long as the world goes round. For instance, such as the Egyptian tomb curses. I also know well, personally, for having been confronted to it, that a higher level of off-world magic is used by the regressive faction of the Anunnaki, the Enlil branch. Hence the return of the good faction, Enki, to help undo the dark work. Here is how I came about to know magic. My maternal granny was a wise woman of knowledge and shamanka, in the Sami and Norse traditions. From a young age, she started to teach me about energy healing work, runes and cards readings. The author, at her work in Karnak Temple, Luxor, Egypt, from 1999 to 2007. One of my certificates included in my degree in Egyptology was, Rituals and Magic in the Temples of the New Kingdom. The interest was already tickling me. Of course, with my psychic background and alien experiences, it made sense for me to specialize in the paranormal side of the Egyptian culture. I went to Egypt in my late 20s, early 30s, hired as an archaeologist and epigraphist, which involves collecting data from the stone-carved hieroglyphs and decoration, as well as training students, organizing teams and conducting projects. I was based in the Franco-Egyptian Permanent Mission in the Temple of Karnak, north of Luxor. I was working 9 months a year, and when the summer months arrived, as the midday temperatures grew hot, we started work at 6 in the morning, in the fresh. I used to enter the temple walking towards the blinding golden disk of the sunrise throughout the sanctuary, and I remember this amazing feeling of being alone in the temple, totally on my own, only passing by some silent employees called kafir who were wiping the floor with palm tree leaves. The sound of the brushes had the echo of millennia, as if coming directly from the ancient stories in the walls. In the golden sunlight illuminating the sanctuary, I sometimes encountered the rising power of ancestral magic embedded in this place. I could really feel there was this particular energy still active. Many times I wondered how this could be. I had learned throughout my courses in archaeology that to perform magic you need rituals to make it happen. Morning sun in the sanctuary, Karnak, Egypt. However, these rituals never happened since the Christian emperor Constantine, in the 4th century AD, had all the temples closed and the Egyptian people forbidden to do speak their language and perform their rites. So why magic was still so vivid and vibrant at the edge of the 21st century, 1,700 years after the last ritual was performed in Egypt? It is because magic is not a religion, it is not a spirituality, it is a science. During my 8 years in Egypt, I was assigned 3 missions in the Temple of Hathor in Denara, for a head researcher who was at the time in charge of the archaeological survey. She instantly saw my psychic abilities, I would even say that she saw my soul. She took me under her wing and decided to teach me the groundwork of ancient Egyptian magic. The expression mind-blowing is too weak to describe my experience. I experienced in a practical way how spoken formulas, sound, frequencies, can manipulate the life force energy and imbue it into objects, places or people. She taught me how the hieroglyphs were encrypting formulas which, when they are read out loud, create a sonic frequency key, just as a recited magic formula, that is going to manipulate the life force, the energy, bending it into people, places or objects. Consecrating or cursing is to create an intention aided by energy bending, ritual equals opening a portal, and the verbalization of a formula, frequency key, coordinates of the target. That is how I understood also, at that point, that as long as no one is going to come to uncast this spell, it would last forever and ever. It is never going to wither. It is going to be effective, as strong as the start, as long as the earth will go round. And this is how the Egyptian curses in the tombs are made. This experience changed my life and a passion was born, magic. It was the reason why, when I moved back to France after my 8 years assignment in Egypt, I decided to start studying Druidry. In this process, I get to learn French traditional magic, hedge witchcraft, with local peasants in the rural village in the middle of the woods, where I moved in. Hedge witchcraft consists in the knowledge of natural remedies, the cycles of the seasons and of the moon, and the casting of good spells for healing and protection. I learned that not only in the ancient Egyptian tradition, but also in the European medieval tradition, the structures and mechanisms of spell making were exactly the same. Only the maker can undo the spell, unless they give away the detailed script of the ritual and the tools used. It also depends on the spells. Big spells, involving high, powerful, complex magic, should be undone by the magician himself who cast it. Magic is not only about rites and tools, it involves also the bending of energy, universal life force. I was never interested in officially becoming a witch, all that mattered to me was the knowledge. Learning has always been my first passion in life. I broadened my knowledge in magic because I understood that it completed the academic scientific knowledge when it came to understanding ancient cultures. You need to know what they are up to in their tribal rites if you want to deeply understand a society. Moving to Ireland, I met Irish Druids and started to train with them. I was excited to discover another parallel with Egyptian magic. You need to speak the spells and the rites in the ancient language of the culture. So I learned Gaelic. I also trained to become a certified shaman in pre-Celtic, Celtic and Norse traditions, and I also trained in sound therapy. Then I joined the Welsh Order of Bards, Ovates and Druids and 5 years later, I was officially ordained as a Druid in Glastonbury, knowing pretty much everything there is to know about magic. I sometimes draw upon my shamanic work to help people to remove bad spells. I don't uncast the spells when I don't have the keys, but I can cut the person from it and the spell bounces back to its sender. What is a spell? Before the Dark Ages of Christianity in Europe, when a severe oppression regarding knowledge, and a fracturing of disciplines was operated by the Roman Church in order to control the masses. The societies of the past joined their scientific knowledge with spirituality. This led to the creation of an amazing period known as the Italian Renaissance of the Quattrocento. That saw the blossoming of an amazing society. Toward the end of the 14th century AD, a community of Italian thinkers declared that they were living in a new age, claiming that the barbarous, unenlightened Middle Ages were over. The new age would be a rinascita, rebirth, of learning and literature, art and culture, with the humanistic belief that man was the center of his own universe. Humanism encouraged people to be curious and to question any type of spiritual advice, particularly coming from the medieval church, and to use experimentation and observation to solve earthly problems. As a result, many Renaissance intellectuals focused on trying to define and understand the laws of nature and the physical world. This period marked both the high point and the turning point of alchemy in the West. This Renaissance period marked both the high point and the turning point of alchemy in the West. During the same years in which Kepler, Galileo, Descartes, Boyle, and Newton wrote their revolutionary scientific works, more alchemical texts were published than ever before. But under the impact first of the Reformation and later of the 17th century scientific revolution, alchemy was profoundly changed and ultimately discredited. The organic, qualitative theories of the alchemists were replaced by an atomistic, mechanical model of change, which eventually undermined the alchemical theory of transmutation. The balance between the spiritual and the physical, which had characterized alchemical thought throughout its long history, was shattered, and alchemy was split into two halves, theosophy and the practical laboratory science of chemistry. Magic is, fundamentally, a science that we were conditioned not to acknowledge as such. Because it carries great self-empowerment, the Roman Church deviled the very name of magic as part of the realm of Satan. Fear creates ignorance, ignorance generates fear. The circle was cast. A spell is basically quantum physics. It involves performing an action at distance, using an energy signature such as a personal belonging, a name, a photograph, DNA, fingernail chunk, hair, etc., anything that allows to remotely connect to a target. Hence, the spell works by resonance, be it for harmful or healing purpose. This action requires a protocol, a ritual that will call upon and bend the forces of nature, to open a portal. A ritual, in order to be more performant, can also involve invoking benevolent or malevolent entities. Tools are useful, such as magic wands, herbs, gemstones, oils, candles and else, but the most important aspect in a ritual is the intention. Verbalizing your intention is giving it a vessel made with sound frequencies able to alter the atomic structure of matter, mind and consciousness. This is what is called a magical formula. Repeating it 3, 6 or 9 times will create a resonant frequency pattern. The intention, coupled to sound, reaches target at the other side of the quantum bridge, or portal, created by the ritual. The keys of a ritual involving spell casting are, the script of the ritual in the tiniest details, the language used, the exact formulas, which entities were called, what tools were used, and also the precise astronomical dates when it was performed. To undo a spell, you also need to be trained into the arts of magic and master the work of energy bending. Une mentioned that the elites needed to give away the keys and the tools, but she also said that these people needed to undo their misdeeds by themselves. In the case if the elites would refuse to uncast their spells, there is always a last option for the allies of humanity, which is to use the surrendered magical keys to do the job instead. Although, the reason why the elites need to perform this job in person, is that these rituals relate to dark magic. Those who work for the light cannot touch these dark rituals without compromising their own soul in the process. This is why the dark elites need to perform this job in person. OFF World Magic. Some off-worlders also practice magic and happen to collaborate with unscrupulous human wizards and elites on Earth. Committing with these beings truly equals to signing a pact with the devil, and there are probably dark counterparts to pay. Among these off-worlders, is the Anunnaki faction of Enlil who resides on Earth and works with the Dark Cabal. This is why Enlil's opponent, Enki, is back with his people, to be part of the liberation of humanity.